Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another day we get to celebrate God's grace, especially in this Epiphany season. So Epiphany, remember the season of how God revealed His Savior to the world. And one aspect that we celebrate is that He revealed His strength to save. You and I are meek, we're lowly in so many ways. We go through a lot of difficulties in this life because of our faith, and yet we know that we are blessed because He is mighty to save. You'll see that throughout the service today. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper, so prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. This is a meal where we celebrate our unity in the faith, so if you have any questions about how you can become one with us and commune with us in the future, please ask us. We'd love to talk to you about how we can make that happen. Our first hymn this morning really reflects the fact that we are meek and that God is mighty to save and protect us. Hymn 432 in the Red Songbooks. God bless your worship this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done, and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven, as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you know that we are surrounded by many dangers and that we often stumble and fall. Strengthen us in body and mind and bring us safely through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson this morning comes from Daniel chapter 3. Here we see three men who are seemingly very weak, and yet God validates their trust in him when he is mighty to save. From Daniel 3. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. The word of the Lord.
Blessed, blessed,
Second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day helps us focus on the might of our Savior and the message that he preached. From Luke 4:18. Alleluia, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach good news. Alleluia. Gospel lesson. The gospel for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, where we see a description of people you wouldn't think were blessed, but very much are, because of their mighty Savior. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 389, the Red Song. 389. Thank you. and peace are yours from God the Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson from 1 Corinthians. If you'd like to follow along, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to take this in the kindest way possible. Okay, when I say this, I want you to know my heart's in the right place. But it's true and it has to be said. You are fools. You are weak. And you are nobodies. Now, I'm not giving you a reason to be angry at me. I'm actually giving you a reason to rejoice. I'm giving you reason to boast. But if you're fools, you're weak, and you're nobodies, what in the world can you boast in? Well, God has given us something that is someone that we can boast in, and he is not a fool. He is not weak, and he is certainly not a nobody. Yes, in him we can boast. We know that. It's just that what we can boast in as Christians doesn't always jive with what the world boasts in, and therein lies our struggle. That's what Paul kind of has to address here in 1 Corinthians early on. See, back in that day, there was this idea that human wisdom was to be valued above everything. The person that could have this argument according to great human logic, that could refute anything with a rational line of thought or prove their own point, well, they were seen as the wisest ones and they were held up in high honor. Obviously, that had affected the Corinthians too, so Paul has to remind them right here in this whole section. If you zoom out, his point is human wisdom counts for nothing in God's plan of salvation. Right before this section that we'll look at today, he makes that point as it's focused on the message itself, the message of Christ crucified. He says, obviously the world's going to see that as foolishness, and you can understand why they would when you take a look at the message. In this message, let's see, it's planned out by a three-in-one triune God. God sent his Son in exchange for a rebellious human race. This Son, who is true God, became fully human. This Son died, and not just died, but died the most shameful, seemingly weakest death possible. And we're to praise him for it? He's the one we're to honor? He also rose back to life, you know, because that's normal. And through it all, think about this, God freely forgives us. He doesn't make us earn forgiveness like everything else that's earned in the world. And all of this comes to our hearts personally through miracles unseen when his word strikes our heart. You can understand why the world would see that as foolish. And yet, look, in that seemingly foolish message, what God has accomplished. We praise him for it every single day. We come here together in this place and praise him for it on Sundays. Yeah, human wisdom counts for nothing in God's plan of salvation, and that's seen in the message itself. But it's not just the message that shows that, and that's Paul's next point here in this section. Paul's next point is that even those who are called prove that point. Paul says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Paul basically says, all right, look at yourselves. It's not like you're the brightest group in the world's estimation. It's not like you're the biggest movers and shakers in society. And it's not like everyone in the Roman Empire knows who you are personally. And yet, God in his wisdom still calls people like that. Can you believe that? Yes, that's absolutely true, that human wisdom counts for nothing in God's plan of salvation. That is seen in the message itself, and in those who are called. Take a look around. Let's be honest, that could be said about us too. But are we to be ashamed of that? Not at all. In fact, we're to rejoice in that. You don't have to have a PhD in mathematics to understand the gospel. In fact, Jesus holds up in high honor the faith of a little child. You don't have to throw your weight around and be influential in the world in order to be saved. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek and the poor in spirit." You don't have to have the highest status in the world and be on the who's who's list of society in order to be on God's who's who's list and to be in His family. Why? Because your salvation does not depend on you at all. In fact, when God calls the seemingly least intelligent, the weakest, the lowliest in society, that just shows His power and glory all the more. So is God ashamed when He calls the fools, the weak, the nobodies? No, He revels in it. It helps Him serve one of His ultimate purposes for us. It helps Him throw every human being off of their high horse. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. God takes all of these things that the world values, wisdom and power and status, and He makes them nada, zilch, zero. Not even the brightest, most powerful, highest in status in the world can come to God and say, "Hey God, look at me. I'm pretty awesome, huh? Heaven is for me, let me in." No, no one can boast before Him. And God says, if you don't see that in the message and in those who are called, then you're going to be pretty ashamed of yourself. And if you're careful, it's going to come on a day when it's too late. Yes, human wisdom counts for nothing in God's plan of salvation. Wisdom, power, status, they're nothing. That's why it's the saddest thing when you and I get fooled by this junk. You and I should know better. Yet we often get influenced by the world's valuation of wisdom, power, and status. Ironically, you know when you see that a lot? You see that a lot when the world challenges us and calls us foolish, weak, and unimportant, and we go, "Oh, how dare they? We're Christians. How dare you question my quoting Scripture? When I quote Scripture, I'm proving that I am wiser than you." Or we think to ourselves, "I'm going to overpower them with my reasoning skills. Then I'll show them that they're wrong and I'm right. I mean, the Bible's right. How dare they question our plan of salvation, right, God?" And God looks down and goes, "Oh, our plan of salvation. Thinking pretty highly of yourselves, aren't you?" Yet we bristle when the world challenges us. It's like we expect them to value us according to their estimation. Like we expect them to go, "Oh, you're a Christian. You're so smart. Oh, you're so powerful. You're so important because you believe in the Bible." If we think that's going to happen, then we're fooling ourselves. But the worst is when we get fooled by our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only does the world fool us, but they can fool us too. This happens a lot when you see wisdom and power and status, or where who you are when you're born, get injected into the gospel. The Jews did this back in the day. They thought they were God's people because of the fact that they were born of Abraham. Works righteousness, which you see in a lot of Christian churches, sadly, is one that does this too. I think I am in God's good favor because I did this good deed. No. That fails to recognize the gajillion other sins that you owe him. One teaching that seems especially enticing along these lines, because it appeals to our human reason, is the idea that I chose to come to faith in Christ. Why am I going to heaven? Well, I opened my heart, and I chose to believe in Jesus. I accepted that message. No, you didn't. You were running away from God with eyes closed, just like the rest of us. And God chased you down, he wrestled you to the ground, and he changed your mind and opened your eyes for you. We don't bring some wise choice that we have made or some power that we exhibited in ourselves when we were spiritually dead. No one can boast before him of anything, not even a little sliver. And yet we can get fooled by this stuff. Why do we let it happen? Why do we let ourselves get fooled by this idea of wisdom, power, status being important? Because for some arrogant reason, we are ashamed of being ashamed of ourselves. In our sinful nature, we don't like that we can't boast before God. We want to feel like we have accomplished something, that we have shown some sort of power, that we have played a significant role in our salvation. We don't like that we can't boast before God. We try to escape the truth that's facing us right there. We are fools. We are weak. We are nobodies. But it's when God shames you and he reveals that you are nothing that he does his greatest work. When God shows you that you have nothing to boast in, he gives you something, someone to boast in. And it can never be taken away because it isn't because of you. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Literally, it's of him you are in Christ Jesus. Not of ourselves, of him. We are in his family because he made it that way. We didn't bring ourselves to faith, and that's a joyful thing. If I have to think that I brought myself to faith, then I have to trust in my own power and my own wisdom. And we've already established I am a fool and I am weak. What a comfort it is to know that God brought me to faith. I can trust in his power. I can marvel at his wisdom. And look at what his wisdom and power have accomplished for us. It's something that you and I could never have accomplished on our own. Because we're fools, we're weak, and we're nobodies, and less than nobodies. We are the lowest of the low, slaves to sin. Yet look at what God in his wisdom accomplished for us. Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. God took these worldly things, wisdom, power, and status, and he replaced them with exactly what we needed. All the wisdom in the world couldn't come up with a plan so that we could be righteous and stand before God. Yet God, in his wisdom, provided a righteousness through Christ that makes us stand in confidence in his presence. All the power in the world could not scrub sin from us. Yet Jesus, in his seemingly weakest moment, shed a blood for us that was powerful enough to wipe away every arrogant stain. All the status in the world could not cover up or take away the fact that we are slaves to sin. Yet Christ gave his life as a payment to redeem us. He has bought us back from slavery to sin to give us the highest status that a human could possibly have, child of God. What kind of God is it that belittles us and tells us that we are weak and foolish and nobodies. The wisest, most powerful, highest honored, glorious, gracious God there is or could ever be. And if you want to consider me a fool for believing him, go right ahead. It just shows his glory all the more. And that's what it's all about, his glory, not mine. So brothers and sisters, boast with me. But let's not boast in you or me or all of us together, no. As it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Join me in not being ashamed of being ashamed of ourselves. Let's be honest with who we really are. And let's rejoice in it because of what it reveals about him. Let's boast in not ourselves, but in Jesus, who is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Let's boast in the face of persecution, great and small, because God chose us to nullify them. Hopefully, they can see that before it's too late and stand right alongside of us, praising God for his greatness alone. Yeah, we can't boast in ourselves, that's for sure. But we can boast. Oh, yes, sir. We can boast. Thanks be to God. In him, we can boast. Amen. Please stand. May God guide you in his wisdom throughout this life, all the way until you stand before him. Amen. We now confess our faith in what God has done for us in his wisdom, according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated.
continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Lord of light, we praise you for working out our salvation and shining your light in our hearts. Forgive us for our doubt, our worry, and our pride, and point us always to the righteousness, holiness, and redemption won for us by Christ. As we await your return in glory, give us courage to stand firm and boast of your love and faithfulness. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week, especially Fred Biederbeck and Carrie Roberts. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ and the hope of his return. Continue to bless all those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them many more years to grow in knowledge of you so they can continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the faithful love you have for us all. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who is our hope and our strength. Amen. Continue with the sacrament on page 10. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the light of the world so that the world may have light and life through him. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts in heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 760 in the Blue Songbooks.
morning.
Once again, pleasure to worship with you as always. Big welcome to all of our visitors this morning. If you have any questions about anything, make sure to ask us. There's also a welcome center that will show you a lot of information about our ministry here at St. Mark's. Please stick around for Sunday school and Bible study, other ways where we can grow in Christ. The Bible study here in the sanctuary, Theology of the Cross, and the adult Sunday school study, which is over in the chapel. Once again, that is open to anybody to come. You don't have to have a kid in the Sunday school to do that. We do the opening at 9:15, but the study itself starts at 9:30, and the kids join us later on, and we recap. So it's pretty fun. And once again, if you have a kid in the Sunday school, you don't have to go to that study either. So it's all open. It's just like it was before. Two studies. Today we have our special needs worship at 2 p.m. If you aren't aware of it, we have a worship service that we go through with those with special needs. It's the first Sunday of every month at 2 p.m. If you'd like to join us, go ahead. I know that the Super Bowl is later on today, but you can still make it in time. It's at 2, and it's about 20-25 minute service. So please join us. Special needs worship today at 2. That's in the chapel now, by the way. Next week, we start our next Bible information class sessions. So if you are interested in getting a refresher on the basics, or if you or somebody you know would like to go through the course and become a member, possibly, then it's next week, Sunday at 5 p.m. Next week, Sunday at 5 p.m. We'll probably meet in the Luther Room to start. And if you could register online on our website, then make sure that we have enough binders there for everybody. Can you believe it? Midweek Lenten services are going to begin at the end of this month. We're officially in February. February 26th, the Wednesday, is Ash Wednesday. We're going to kick it off, get ready for Lent on that Wednesday evening. As always throughout Lent, dinner at 5:30, some good dinner and fellowship, and then spiritual food in our worship at 7 p.m. Coming up in April, we've got kind of an exciting thing. The Seminary Chorus is coming to visit us, and they're going to sing for us Monday, April 13th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. So, first of all, note that on your calendars. Monday night, they're really good. It's just really neat to hear. The director does an amazing job with them, so come hear it. Also, if you're able to host, they could use a host that night, so that Monday the 13th. If you're able to, please contact the church office and let them know how many you're able to host. We have also been given a decision from Brett and Adrian Bengel on the call that they received. I'll read the letter for you. Dear members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School, through much prayer and deliberation, we feel the Lord has led us to accept our calls from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church to teach at Holy Trinity Lutheran Academy in New Hope, Minnesota. We thank you for the encouragement and thoughts you have shared with us while we have served at St. Mark's and as we are considering these calls. We sincerely appreciate the support you have given our family during our ministry here. We have enjoyed being a part of the ministry of St. Mark's. We ask for your continued blessings and prayers as we prepare to move our family to Minnesota this summer. St. Mark's will continue to be in our thoughts and prayers as you continue to grow God's kingdom here in Citrus Heights. In Christ, Brett and Adrian Bengel. Now, extra prayers for Brett because he's going to be living around a bunch of Viking fans. But we're we're really good people, don't worry. But we've got some plans to make here at St. Mark's, so we're going to continue to meet this week, and the plan going forward is that there will be a call meeting scheduled for Sunday, February 16th. That's 2 weeks from this Sunday, from today. And the specifics for that call meeting will be communicated next Sunday, so please be aware of that and get ready for that next week. For all the other announcements, you can see those in the weekly news. May God bless you this week as you remember His strength for you. Please stick around and greet one another.